Talking about a little bit loud and good things coming in small packages, but that's it. I'll tell you, that's great. After being here yesterday and back again today and folks clapping, I heard about an incident that took place in the back of the chapel yesterday morning. This actually happened. There was two of our students way back yonder in the next county toward the end of the chapel, and I walked in, the folks were clapping, and they kept on clapping. Two fellows were standing there side by side, and they were clapping, and one guy was clapping away, and he leaned over the next fellow. He said, "Who is that up there?" He said, "You don't know who that is?" "No, sir, that's Brother Fizz." He said, "Oh." So I know what goes on out there. I appreciate your clapping anyway.
In the peanut gallery up here. All right. I wanted to tell you about an incident I heard about Dr. Evans, too. Out in the area where he lives, they pick up the garbage early on Monday morning. And it seems like Dr. Evans forgot to put the garbage out Sunday night after he got home from church. So he's awakened early Monday morning by the sound of the garbage men coming down the road. And so he jumps up and throws on his dirty old greasy old house coat and his hair tousled all over his head and his slippers and runs out and says, "Am I too late for the garbage?" And they said, "Nope, jump right in." So... So in case some Monday morning he doesn't show up, you'll know what happened to him. I shouldn't have done that. He's been kind to me and hadn't said a nasty word about me.
That's right.
And I have a feeling, though, next time around it'll be different.
Yeah.
That loving and forgiving spirit. "Vengeance is mine, saith Dr. Evans." All right. I think yesterday in our teaching we got up to, where we said something about taking someone with you. By way of review now, just quickly, you tell me, the Great Commission contains how many parts? Three parts. Now stop, think real hard. How many parts? Three. That's right. Tell me what they are. Get them saved, get them baptized, and teach them. Yesterday I was out at a standard station out here in Hessville. After I was here, I ran out there, and my daughter was having some work done on her car, and out at the standard station there in Hessville on 169th Street, I think it is. Mr. Allen is a member of our church, a very fine, wonderful Christian man. But while I was there, I was talking to a young man who works there. And I couldn't help but go back and, about 5-6 weeks ago when this young man and his wife were saved. His name is Alfred, and his wife's name is Michelle. And they were saved on a Tuesday afternoon, and, they promised the Lord they'd come to church Sunday, and so... I warned them that they had a long time to wait, and the devil's going to try to keep them from it, and they ought to promise God they'd do it, and so they did. So I gave them a call Saturday just to make sure that they were still coming Sunday, and they said yes, they were, and I went by and picked them up, and they came Sunday morning, and they walked the aisle. They were baptized. They're still coming. They were there last Sunday morning, Sunday school and church. But here's the blessing, I guess, about after having been at church a couple of times and heard Brother Hiles preach, this young fella took 42 of his 8-track rock music tape albums out there on the parking lot near the service station and busted every one of them with a hammer. He said my wife thought something about selling them or giving them to somebody, and he told her, he said, "Nope, because I don't want them to be polluted by that stuff like I was." So he busted every one of them. 42 of them at about $8 a piece. That's a hunk of money, isn't it? But that just goes to show you what can happen when you get somebody saved and get them to church and they get under the preaching. Something's going to happen. There's a young fellow there, a family that sits down in the section to the left of the pulpit, straight down the center aisle, just to the left. A fellow by the name of Mr. Skipper. Mr. Skipper and his wife, his daughter, and his son. It's a family that was led to Christ by one of our men, Jack Hilliard. And he got them to church and worked with them, and now they're Mr. Skipper and his son Phil are working in the bus ministry, and God's called his son Phil to preach. Amen. And they've just been saved, I guess, about 3 months, maybe four at the most. And so that things like that just don't happen unless you get folks saved and get them baptized and get them into the teaching and preaching of God's Word. But that's just a few examples of what God wants us to do in this matter of carrying out the Great Commission. Well, let's get some things added to what we had yesterday quickly. Number four, I think it was, have a small Bible with you at all times. Number four, have a small Bible with you at all times. On the job, I don't care where you are. I mean, if you're at school, on the job, walking the street, really, just have a small Bible with you at all times. I've often said that I believe God would give people more chances to win souls if they were prepared for it. I wouldn't ask you, but I wonder if I just stop right now and said, how many of you do not have a Bible with you at all times? It'd surprise you. I mean, I'm never without this little Bible. I'm never without it. I'm never without it. I was at the hospital yesterday making my calls in two or three of the different hospitals. Got to St. Margaret's, and there were some folks there that were sick that requested that we would visit them, not members of our church, not just friends of the people of our church. And thank God, there in the hospital yesterday afternoon, I got to kneel by the bedside and see a man get saved, and then next floor up and across the hall, got to kneel by the bedside and see a lady get saved. But if I hadn't had my Bible, I'd have been in a fix. I'm sure that some soul winners, if they aren't careful, they're going to run across somebody who wants to get saved, and they'll have to ask them, do they have a Bible? And they'll have to ask the lost person for their Bible in order to win them to Christ. Just get you a New Testament. Get you a small Bible. Take it with you at all times. Have it with you at all times. Be prepared to win souls. And I think the Lord will send you some handful on purpose. Number five, pray constantly for power to win people and get them to church. Pray constantly for power to win people and get them to church. I mean, listen, pray every day in Jesus' dear name. I mean, several times a day, many times a day, you pray for God's power to win people to Christ and get them to church. I mean, pray for those two things. Pray for God's power to win them and pray for God's power to get them. I know, I believe in the Romans road. I believe in doing things right. I mean, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. And that's why I teach the men in the fishermen club that there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things and a right way to say things and a wrong way to say things. But I hammer away at them. Just don't forget, it's not mechanics that wins folks to Christ. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. And so only when God blesses those scriptures and only when God blesses your love and only when God blesses those mechanics will we win folks to Christ. Never get mechanical. I mean, if it were mechanics that would win folks to Christ, we could just take a tape recorder with us when we go soul winning and put a tape on there and just play it for them and say, here, I'm going to turn this on. You listen to it. No, someone has said, where love is felt, the message is heard. Where love is felt, the message is heard. I was reading a book by Watchman Nee, and he said this. He said, unless our spirit touches their spirit, he said, they'll never get saved. So there's got to be love there and compassion there. There's got to be the power of God there. And so pray constantly for power to win people to Christ and get them to the church. Number six, stay in the same book of the Bible, the book of Romans. Stay in the same book of the Bible, the book of Romans. We teach this and we advocate this and I guess most of our folks use it, but yet there are still some folks that are just dead set on using far out things, and I don't mean that wrongly. I know God blesses His Word, but all I can say is after almost 17 years of experience of using the Romans Road. By the way, when those soul winners came to my home back in November of 1960, they used the Romans Road on me. They gave me the Romans Road, and I heard it, and I believed it, and I got saved. I know the Romans Road is attacked. I know that. I mean, they have literature out against it today, tracts out against it that don't fall for that Roman Roadism and don't fall for that easy believism. And there's a lot of material out today attacking the Romans Road, the use of the Romans Road. They say it's not scriptural. Well, if those people would say that, would get familiar with their Bible, they'd know it's scriptural. But I will say this, there is a danger, hear me now, there is a danger of the soul winner not explaining things thoroughly and carefully. There is that danger. So I would beg you in Jesus' name that if you have the opportunity to deal with someone about being saved, you be sure they understand what you're saying. You be sure that you explain it carefully and thoroughly. I realize that when you're in a home situation, you can be a little bit more elaborate and take a little bit more time, but perhaps maybe on the street or in a busy place, you've got to be a little bit shorter and a little bit briefer and get right to it. But once again, do not ever ask anybody to bow their head and repeat these words after me and you'll be saved. I've come across some people that some of our soul winners have dealt with, and I've been given their names to follow up, and I'd say, well, I'm glad to learn you were saved, and are you for sure you're saved? Well, no, I'm not for sure. Well, let me ask you this: you know, if you die right now, you'd go to heaven? No, I don't know that. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know what was missed. But all I'm saying is this: is that when you deal with someone about salvation, in Jesus' dear name, don't just breeze through it and rush through it and just say, now, repeat these words after me and you'll be saved. I think the worst thing you could do is to lead somebody to make a false profession of faith or do something just to please you, do something they don't really mean. So when you explain the Romans Road, explain it carefully, explain it thoroughly, making sure they understand it. And I never pass from one point to the next till I get them to admit and acknowledge that they're a sinner, or that they know they're going to hell, or that they know that Jesus died for them, or that they believe that if they'll trust Him and accept Him, that He'll save them. Get them to admit it before you move to the next point. But be careful that you do explain carefully and thoroughly the Romans Road, making sure they understand and know what they're doing before they bow their head and pray and not say something they don't mean. But do stay in the same book of the Bible, the book of Romans. Just keep it simple and keep it as brief as possible. Keep it simple and yet be thorough and help them to be sure and understand. Now, I want us to take a few moments and go through the Romans Road. Why? Because Dr. Evans tells me there are about 600 new students here. We do not know that they all have the Romans Road in their Bibles. And so I want to take just a few minutes now and quickly go through the Romans Road and have you put it in your Bibles. I want to give you the three scriptures that you read and explain to get a person to come to church and walk the aisle and profess faith in Christ. I'll give you those in their proper order. So let's take a few minutes now and quickly go through the Romans Road. Let's put the Romans map in your Bible. If you have it already, praise the Lord. Check it and make sure you got it right. All right, open your Bibles, please, to Romans 3 and verse 10. Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Put a number 1 beside that verse. Pen or pencil, put a number 1 beside verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And at the end of the verse, or at the close, beside the verse, so you know where to go next, write Romans 3:23. So at the end of 3:10 or beside 3:10, so you'll know where to go next, write Romans 3:23. All right, so go to 3:23 now and write a number 2 beside that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Write a number 2 beside that. And as I teach our fishermen on Saturday, read the scripture verse at least twice. read every scripture verse at least twice, calling their attention to it the second time to be sure they hear it, to be sure that they've heard what you've read. But at any rate, write a number 2 beside Romans 3:23. At the end of that, so you know where to go next, or beside that, write Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. So turn to 5:12. Beside that, put a number 3. Beside Romans 5:12, write a number 3. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. And, of course, this is the verse where you begin to explain there is a penalty on sin, there's a price on sin. And, of course, that price is physical death, and that price is spiritual death. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And if you'll just use Romans 5:12 to explain physical death, it'll sure help your cause. Why? Because the average person is not thinking about dying. I haven't thought one time today that I could die, maybe that I was going to die. The average person doesn't think that. I couldn't help but think as I went down by the railroad tracks this morning and I passed that spot there right near the railroad tracks in Seoul Avenue. I could, as I passed there this morning, the picture came back into my mind that last Friday afternoon about 1:30, a man 43 years of age tried to cross, he tried to beat a train there at that railroad crossing and he didn't make it. And the train just made hamburger out of him. And I thought to myself, that man got up a week ago today. He got up on Friday morning. He got up just like you and I did this morning. He got up and went about his business. I mean, he wasn't looking to die. He wasn't expecting to die. But all of a sudden, he was out into eternity. Now, the average person is not thinking about dying. But if you'll use Romans 5:12 to explain that part of the penalty of sin is physical death, Adam and Eve sinned, they had to die, we're sinners, we're going to die, and we must die someday, you might just get that person to thinking he ought to get saved. And so, I've used it that way and get them to thinking about dying, and then they'll get to thinking about getting saved. So use Romans 5:12 to explain physical death. All right, now, when you've ended there and you want to go to the next scripture, you write beside Romans 5:12, 6:23. 6:23. So write beside 5:12, Romans 6:23. Okay, turn to Romans 6:23. Beside that, write a number 4. For the wages of sin is death. Now, here's where you explain the spiritual death or hell, the lake of fire, the second death. Because that's what it's referring to here to, the wages of sin is death. This is the eternal death, the unending death, the everlasting death, the second death, the death in hell, the death in the lake of fire. And so use Romans 6:23 to explain hell, the lake of fire, the second death. Now, let me give you a few scriptures to write down on the page. Don't turn to these, but this we do often in case you need them. And they've come in handy to me numbers of times, dealing with the subject of hell. You say, how can I prove to a person there's a hell that doesn't believe there's a hell? If the Bible doesn't convince them there's a hell, you can't. I'll say this right now. Do not ever try to argue the Bible or defend the Bible. Just preach it. Just preach it. Just present it. Just let God do His work through the Word of God. If the Bible doesn't convince them there's a hell, they'll not be convinced. If the Bible does not convince them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they'll not be convinced. And so, but at any rate, here are some scriptures that you may use if you need to convince the people from the Bible there is a hell. Revelation 20, 14 and 15. Revelation 20, 14 and 15. Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, 8. And, of course, Mark chapter 9, 43 through 48. Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48. And, of course, the best one of all, I guess, perhaps, would be Luke chapter 16, where the rich man in hell lift up his eyes in torments. Now, when you read that to somebody, if they don't believe it, there's no hope for them as far as salvation is concerned. And so those verses you have on hell, if the person does not accept your explanation, you can show them from the Bible where it says they'll go to hell, they'll go to the lake of fire, the second death, if they die without Christ. So use Romans 6:23 for that purpose. All right, at the end of 6:23, so you know where to go next, write Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. All right, turn to Romans 5:8. Beside that, put a number 5. Put a number 5 beside Romans 5:8. But God commended His love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And use this verse to explain Christ died, paid for our sins, paid the penalty, suffered hell for us. Romans 5:8. All right, at the end of Romans 5:8, so you know where to go next, write Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. So you've shown them so far that they're a sinner. There's a penalty, a price on sin. Jesus paid that price, suffered that hell for us, and now what they must do to get saved. Romans 10:13, turn to it. Beside it, write in number 6. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'll add this in here too. You can just remember it, that actually the Romans road is all you need. I know I've used it for years. You say, well, what if you come across a person that believes that they got to be baptized to be saved? What more do you need? Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I come right back to them. I say, look, the Bible doesn't say whosoever shall be baptized shall be saved. Suppose I'm dealing with a Lutheran. They believe in confirmation. I say, the Bible doesn't say whosoever shall be confirmed shall be saved. And the Catholics, of course, believe in sprinkling and confession and communion. And when I'm dealing with a Catholic, I say, well, now the Bible doesn't say whosoever shall confess their sins to a priest shall be saved, or whosoever shall take communion will be saved, or whosoever shall be sprinkled or baptized as a baby will be saved. Now, they don't even realize it, but what's happening is by the Scripture, I'm tearing down what they believe in and what they've trusted in all these years. So really, the Romans road is all you need if you just use it correctly. What about Romans 6:23? It says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through the baptistry, not through the church, not through the priest, not through the communion, not through the confirmation. It says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you got to do is point it out to them while you're explaining the Scriptures. And so the Romans road is all you need. But you come to Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And here you lead them to call upon Christ and be saved. And once again, do not ever ask anyone to bow their head and pray unless they mean it, unless they're sincere. Yesterday I was kneeling by the bedside of that lady, and I asked her, I said, now we went through the plan of salvation, and I said, now listen, I said, if Christ would take you just like you are, I said, wouldn't you be willing to take Him? And she said, yes. But shortly before that, and of course we bowed our head and prayed, and she got saved. But while I was explaining Romans 10:13, I said, now you could call on the Lord and still not mean it. And that's true. I know it says whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. But encourage the person you're dealing with that when they call on the Lord, to mean it, to be sincere about it. Now you don't know whether or not they are, but still you should encourage them not to call upon the Lord unless they mean it and they're sincere about it. All right? So then, you've gotten them saved. Now they've accepted the Lord. You want to get them to church. You want to get them to come and walk the aisle. So put a note there so you know where to go for the next one. Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10. So the person is saved now. You want them to come to church, walk the aisle for Jesus. So the next verse you'll use after 10:13 is Romans 10:10. Actually, both of them, verses there, 10:10 and 10:11. So put a number 7 beside verses 10:10 and 10:11. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Now those are the first two verses you read to a person as soon as they accept Christ. Now the point is, you're encouraging them not to be ashamed of Christ. He's just saved them. They're to confess Him with their mouth. They're not to be ashamed of Him. Here's something they can do for Christ. And I always read that Scripture, verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And I say, look, I didn't save you, did I? No. Who saved you? Jesus saved you. Are you ashamed of Him? Ask them, are you ashamed of Him? No. Well, they've made a commitment there then that they're not ashamed of Him. And then you do your best to get them to come and show that they're not ashamed of Jesus by walking the aisle. So use those two verses as number 7. Now at the end of verse 11, so you know where to go for the last one. And by the way, this is the only time we leave the book of Romans. And it's the last one we use. So write it down, Matthew 10:32. Romans 10, after 10:11 there, beside 10:11, write it down, Matthew 10:32. All right, turn to Matthew 10:32. Turn quickly, Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Now folks, there's a natural right there. I mean, if someone has accepted Christ, you've told them the first thing they need to do is let others know it and profess it openly and not be ashamed of Jesus. And so you turn to Matthew 10:32 and say, now here's how you do it. Here's the way you do it. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. So that's a group, that's a congregation. That's a number of people. Men, that's plural. So now you come to church to do that. Just be honest with them. Get right to the point. You come to church to do that. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And so you lead that person to see the importance of coming to church, taking a stand for Christ, walking the aisle for Jesus, not being ashamed of Jesus. And Jesus said to confess me before men. And you get them to come to church. And they may say, well, I want to go back to my own church. And you say, well, now look, at your church, do they give an invitation? 99% of them don't. And say, well, now then you need to come with me where you will have a chance to go forward and profess faith in Christ. And all of them say, well, look now, God led me by your home today, or God led me to you today to tell you about Jesus. So I believe Jesus wants you to come with me. I believe He wants you to come with me. So come with me Sunday. And just really don't take no for an answer. I mean, don't say, now look, I know you've been going to a certain church for years and you probably want to go back to your own church Sunday, don't you? You forget that. I don't care what church they went to. If you want them to Christ, you get them to come with you Sunday and make a profession of that faith in Christ. And so reason with them and plead with them and beg with them to come to church Sunday and walk the aisle for Christ. And as we said earlier, get them to promise God they're going to do it, and then you go by and get them, or you be responsible to get them to church. Have someone sit with them and go down the aisle with them. Then be a friend of the new Christian. All right, those are the verses in the Romans Road, and then those for getting the person to come forward. Now, let's go to the next number quickly. Just a couple of more. The question, now this is the next number, whatever it is. The question to ask is, the question to ask is, if you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? The question to ask is, if you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? Do not ask, are you converted? Do not ask, are you born again? Do not ask, are you a Christian? Be very specific. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope so. No, do you know so? I think so. No, do you know so? Well, I got as good a chance as anybody else. No, do you know so? The question to ask is, if you died today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? And by the way, if they say yes, you say, yes, I know that, then you ask them, what are they trusting in? What are they depending upon? Say, when were you saved? Where were you saved? How are you saved? Would you mind telling me? And get them to tell you. Get them to give you a testimony. If they can't tell you when they were saved, then you need to get the gospel to them. If they can't tell you that they've accepted Christ as their Savior. Last Friday, a week ago today, I called in a home of a young lady. In fact, I some children from one of the bus routes had ridden and gotten saved, and I went to the home, and this young lady, I guess about 17, 18 years of age, was visiting in the home. And I began to talk with her and witness to her, and I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, if you were to die today, are you sure that you'd go to heaven? She said, yes. Yes, I am. I said, well, you seem pretty definite about that. I said, would you mind telling me how you know that for sure? She said, yes. She said, two of your ladies about 3 weeks ago came by my house, knocked on my door, and said, I talked to them. And she said, I prayed with them. And she said, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Man, that's a pretty good answer, isn't it?
Amen.
But at least I found out what she was trusting in, see? All right, so find out what they're trusting in. Ask them how do they know. And then, oh, the last one, stay on the subject. Stay on the subject. Well, listen, once you get to talking about Jesus and you get on the plan of salvation, you stay on the subject. They say, well, what's wrong with drinking? Don't discuss it. Stay on the subject of salvation. Say, look, that's a good question. I want to show you how to get saved first. We'll come back and answer that and talk about that in a minute. Oh, they say, what's wrong with dancing? You're one of them Baptists. You don't believe in dancing. Now, would you tell me what's wrong with it? Yes, I'll tell you in a minute. But first, I want to tell you how to get saved. Then we'll come back and discuss that. Just don't get sidetracked. Don't get off the subject. Just stay on the subject. Get them saved first, and then chances are the question they were going to ask will not mean anything at all to them after getting saved. All it is the trick of the devil to get you off the subject. And right there is the point where the devil wrecks and ruins, destroys more good soul winners than any other place. You get off and you, man, listen, this guy asked a question. I'm really going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm going to answer his question. Well, if you do, you may not get back to the subject. And I don't care what religion they are. Excuse me. Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Catholic, don't discuss religion with them. Don't get in an argument with religion with them. Get on the subject of Christ and stay on the subject of Christ and preach Christ. And give them the gospel and do your best to get them to say, get them saved. Now, you say, well, what if I can't convince them? I say once again, if the Holy Spirit doesn't convince them, if the Word of God doesn't convince them, if your witness and your testimony doesn't convince them, they're not going to be convinced. And so don't try to do something that's not your business to do. Just preach the Word of God and do your best to lead them there to receiving Christ as their Savior. And so stay on the subject. All right, I want to take a few minutes here and show you how to explain one or two verses. Let's see, Sam, I see you sitting over here. Would you come up here and help me? This is one of the fellows in the Fisherman Club, and Sam has won a lot of people to the Lord. So come on over on this side, if you would, Sam, please. And we're just going to take a couple of minutes here. We've got a few minutes left. Just use this mic, if you would, here, Sam. Is it live? Very good.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to just... I know around here it's kind of hard to get indoors, and I'll just share with you a couple of things that I do. And if the fellow there in the middle is sleeping, would somebody wake him up?
That's right.
Yeah, wake the fellow up. He's still not awake. There we go. Okay. We just don't want anybody sleeping during this.
That's right.
If you want to pray, don't pray while I'm teaching. Catch up on your prayer life after a while. Yeah, I think it was Steve Huckins who said he experienced the Lord giving him a quick answer to prayer. He said he bowed his head and he prayed for the Lord to give him more rest, and he fell asleep while he was praying. Boy, that's what you call a fast answer to prayer, isn't it? Hello, Brother Jorgensen. You liked that, didn't you? You've been there, huh? I have, too. I have, too. But... it's kind of hard to get in around here because folks are skeptical about answering the door. And so all you can do is to try to talk your way in. I'll just show you a little bit about what I do. It helps me to get in. Brother Godfrey uses asking in, may I come in? And it gets him in a lot of doors. So whatever you can use and whatever you can do to get you in and get you in a lot of doors, that's fine. I just want to share some things with you that gets me in a lot of doors. So I'm out knocking on doors. Where do you live, Sam? Up here in Maryville. So I'm knocking on doors over here in Maryville, and I come to this fellow's house, and I want to get in if I can. So let's say it's a Saturday, and you know everybody's busy on Saturday, got a lot going on, a lot of things to do. And so I've got to convince this fellow that it's important he talk to me for a few minutes, you see. So I'm going to try it. Don't be afraid to knock on the door, by the way, okay? In a ladies' visitation this morning, two ladies was telling me about the fact they were out soul winning recently. And they walked up the door, knocked on the door, and somebody came to the door, opened the door, and the door just fell out on them. I mean, there's one of the soul winners standing there holding the door while the other one's doing the talking. Now, that's a new experience. It may happen to you. Be ready for it. I don't know. But knock on the door.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you today, sir?
Fine.
My name is C.W. Fisk. What's yours?
Sam Oldrich.
Sam, I'm glad to meet you. Listen, I'm from over here at First Baptist Church in Hammond. Downtown Hammond. I don't know if you've been down there very much or not, living out here in Maryville. But listen, I'm one of the pastors there and just out today knocking on doors and trying to tell folks about the Lord and about church. And say, I got to visit with your neighbors over here for a few minutes. And man, I'd like to visit with you. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of things to do. Got your work clothes on, I see. Probably washing the car.
Yes.
And vacuuming the rug for your wife and things like that.
But listen, I'll try not to take much of your time, but I'd sure like to talk with you for a few minutes if I could. I don't get out this way very often and may not get back this way, you know, for a long time. So could I talk to you for a few minutes? Would that be all right?
You say it won't take very long?
I'll try to do my best to make it as short as I can and just visit with you for a few minutes.
All right, sir. Come in.
Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to get in, but I'm sure going to try to get in, you see. And if nothing else, you know, if it's cold outside, I'll say, man, look, it's freezing out here, and we're letting this cold air in your house. And, you know, you got to try to get in if you can. But you may not always get in. If you can't, just stand in the doorway and talk, or on the porch, or wherever. But try to get in if you can. And so we get inside. Now, I visit for just a few minutes. Sam, I appreciate you taking this time to visit with me, and I know you got a lot to do, and as I said, I'll try not to take much of your time. Do you work somewhere here in the area, Sam? I'm sure you do. What place you work?
East Chicago.
East Chicago. What kind of work you do?
I teach welding.
You teach welding. Well, say, I was a welder for about 12 years. Yes, sir. Do you teach the vertical and the overhead and, you know, the pipe welding and all of that? Do you teach welding with a different kind of metals, like stainless steel and cast iron and aluminum? Man, I used to do all of that. Yes, sir. Now, I could talk to him here for about 3 or 4 minutes, and I'd make friends with him. See, we can strike it off right there, you see. And then I'd talk a few minutes about the family, how many children do you have, you know, where are you from, how long you been here. And already with an accent like that, I know we can be big buddies in just a few minutes, you see. But at any rate, I'll cut out all that. Sam, do you and your family go to church anywhere in the Calumet area?
We go to St. Bosco's.
Well, that's that's the one over here on Columbia Avenue in Hammond, isn't it?
Yes,
St. John Bosco?
Uh-huh.
That is Catholic, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Have you always been Catholic?
No. My wife is Catholic.
And did you change over and convert over whenever you married your wife then?
Right.
I see. Well, I'm sure it's something new and different to you, isn't it? What were you before that?
Nothing.
I see. That's for sure in his case. All right. But, Sam, well, I'll tell you, as far as denomination is concerned, I call myself a Baptist.
Uh-huh.
But, Sam, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a Baptist. No, sir. As far as that's concerned, I could join every church in town and still not go to heaven. You could join every church in town and still not go to heaven. We're not going to go to heaven because we're Baptist or because we're Catholic. We're going to go to heaven if we're right with God. I know you've driven down the road many times and maybe seen these signs. Get right with God.
Yeah.
You ever seen one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sam, the purpose of that is to get to heaven, you got to get right with God. And you get right with God through Jesus. I know that almost 17 years ago in the living room of my home, some fellows took the Bible and showed me about Jesus and how to get saved, and I accepted Jesus. Listen, I'd belonged to church for 20 years, and I wasn't saved. Man, I had religion on the outside, but nothing on the inside. But that night, I accepted Jesus. That night, I trusted Jesus. That night, I called upon Jesus, and I accepted Him as my Savior. I know I'm saved now. Yes, sir, right at home. I know I'm saved now. And I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a Baptist or a preacher or not because I belong to the Baptist church. But I know in my heart I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus. Say, Sam, let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, are you sure? Do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven?
Well, I think so.
No, now wait a minute. Listen, just last week over there near the church, a man was killed trying to beat the train, 43 years of age. How old are you, Sam?
I'm 32.
Miss Woolridge, is that right? He told the truth. Well, praise the Lord. Well, Sam, folks die at the age of 32. They die at the age of 43. We had some teenagers in our church not long ago. One was killed by a car. Another was killed in a fire. Mm-hmm. Sam, you know folks are going to die every day. I didn't say, do you hope so or think so? I said, do you know so? Do you know if you died right now you'd go to heaven?
Well, I don't really know. But
now, wouldn't it be good to know that? Wouldn't you like to know that?
Yes, sir.
Suppose he said, well, I'm not sure. I don't think so. It doesn't really matter much. Now, I'm not going to stand here and try to argue with him and get him to convince, you know, me convincing that I can't show. I'm going to take my Bible out and I'm just going to say, Sam, well, let me just show you what it says anyway and you think about it. I figure if I can get my Bible out and go ahead and show him, maybe he'll get under conviction while I'm showing him the Word, you see. But if I can, I want him to say that I can show him. Well, Sam, wouldn't it be good to know that? Wouldn't you like to know that for sure?
Yes, I'd like to know that.
Well, if I could show you from the Bible how you could know it, I mean, how you could know it for sure, would you do what the Bible said if it were something you could do?
Yeah, if it's something I could do, I would.
All right. Sam, I want to show you just four simple things from the Word of God. Just four simple things from the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to do all this, but I want to show you one of them, how to do it. Sam, the first thing you've got to know in order to get saved, you've got to know that you're a sinner. Now, I don't mean to make you out the bad guy because I'm a sinner also.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. I mean, I'll show you here in the Bible in just a minute where it says that. But you've got to know you're a sinner. Now, Sam, it says in Romans 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I'll read it again. Listen. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Sam, that means there's nobody that's 100% perfect. There's nobody that 100% does everything that's right. It said there's nobody that's righteous. There's nobody that's perfect. I'm not. You're not. Say, I never knew a perfect... I've never known a perfect person. Have you?
No.
I know I'm not perfect. Would you say that you're perfect?
Oh, no.
Well, there's nobody that's perfect, are there? So that's what this verse literally says. Nobody's righteous and nobody's perfect. Now, why aren't we? Well, in verse 23, it tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See what it says, Sam? All have sinned. Who does that all mean?
It means us.
That's right. It means you and me, doesn't it? All have sinned. That means we've done things that's wrong, said things that's wrong, thought things that's wrong. Some way, somehow, every day, we sin against God. Well, Sam, the first thing a fellow's got to know to get saved, he's got to know he's a sinner. Admit he's a sinner. Now, Sam, be honest with me. Deep down in your heart, do you admit to me and yourself and to God that you have sinned, that you are a sinner?
Yeah.
All right. Then you realize that. All right. Now, that's the way you would do with each verse, you see, is read the Scripture twice and explain it. And then, after he realizes it, ask him, do you realize it? Do that with each verse. Right on through the fourth one, lead him to accept Christ. Excuse me. And then I want to just quickly have you go over now to Romans 10 and verse 10. Now, let's say Sam has bowed his head now and he's received Christ. Sam, the first thing you do for Jesus after you're saved is to let others know you're saved. Not be ashamed of Jesus. Look, if you'd have died 30 minutes ago, where would you have gone?
To hell.
If you die right now, where would you go?
To heaven.
Who saved you?
Jesus.
That's right. Now listen, almost 2,000 years ago, he came from heaven to this earth, didn't he? And they spit on him, and they crucified him, and he suffered, and he bled, and he died. I mean, the Bible says they beat him, they pierced his side, they put a crown of thorns on his head, and oh my, he suffered and bled and died a terrible death. Now, Sam, who did he do that for?
For me and
that's right.
You.
He did it for you and for your sins, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sam, now that you're saved and you've accepted Jesus, he wants you to do something for him. He wants you to let others know you're saved and you're not ashamed of it. It says here in Romans 10 and verse 10, it says right here, that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now it says you've accepted Jesus in your heart, you've accepted him with your mouth, and says you confess him with your mouth. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Who does that whosoever mean, Sam?
Anybody.
Means you, doesn't it? Have you just now believed on Jesus?
Yes.
Then the Bible says, do not be ashamed of him. Are you ashamed of Jesus?
No.
All right. Then over in Matthew 10:32, here's what you can do for Jesus. Matthew 10:32. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now Jesus said, if you will confess him before men, that's down here, that's at church, that's for Jesus, he'll confess you before his Father up in heaven. So Jesus wants you to confess him before men. And the way you do that is you come to church. The preacher gives the invitation, the altar call, and says, come forward, leave your seat, come down the aisle to the front, tell the preacher that you got saved. You won't be embarrassed. I'll take care of everything. I'll have someone pick you up. I'll have someone sit with you. I'll have someone go down the aisle with you.
Well, I could tell the priest on Saturday.
I know you can. Oh, well, listen. I know you could, but it says here before men. And God, listen. Yeah. And listen, God led me by your house here today to tell you, and I believe God wants you to come with me, you see. Now, I'm going to cut it off here, but you get the idea? Huh? You put up a good argument and use the Scriptures and try to convince them now they accepted Christ to come with you. Thank you, Sam. Now, folks, work on it. Pray about it. Pray about it. Work on it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Listen, if I can do it, you can do it. Dr. Evans, can you do it?
Amen.
If he can do it, anybody can do it. See? God bless you.